Father, you know that I'm scared to death. And I want more than anything for this to be about you and not about me. Lord, I thank you for all of these ladies that came out tonight that would be so easy to say, it's just too cold and too slick and I'm going to stay at home. So, Father, I just pray that the message that you've given me, that you would just touch their hearts, and that it would be you, not me. I just ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bear with me. I'm going to read a little bit, and I'm going to have this high because I'm blind as a bat. And so for me to be able to see this, I'm going to have it up here. But as your little program has, our scripture tonight is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I'd heard this scripture over and over and over, but honestly, I'd never thought about what it really meant, or who said it, or where did it come from, what was the story behind it. I personally needed to take a good look at my heart. And one day, the Lord brought this scripture to me. I'd been struggling with a situation for years that seemed to have no resolution or hope. And I sincerely wanted this situation to change, but I had no idea how. I had tried my best, but it was me trying to fix it. I realized that I needed to give it over to God, but you know, it's hard to give things over to God when you've been carrying them yourself for a long time. I fight the me syndrome. Maybe some of you fight this syndrome too. Paul Tripp, who writes incredible cut-to-the-point books, calls it kingdom of self. We only see things from our point of view. Daily we have things happen in our lives. How do we handle it? Do we handle it with the kingdom of me or the kingdom of God? We have situations from the past that's molded us into what we are today. This always makes me think of the scripture in Isaiah 4:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. I don't know if any of you have ever worked with clay. I had the fun time of being able to take pottery up and at the university. And when you get a piece of clay, it's hard. And or even if you take little kids' clay, it's hard when you first pull it out. But it's hard. And there's stone tables, and you take that piece of clay and you throw it on the table and then you push on it. And it'll never move. And you keep picking it up and throwing it back down and picking it up and throwing it back down. And you need it and you need it and you need it. And then after a while, it's like, ooh, yeah. Now it's pliable. Now I can do something with it. And then you take it over and you put it on the potter's wheel and you make your piece of art. That's kind of like our hearts. We've become stiff and hard against things that have happened in our lives. Allowing the Lord to be in control would mean that we would have to completely hand ourselves over to him and say, whatever it takes, create a clean heart in me, O God. Mold me, change me into what you want me to be. We may think that we're doing just fine, just the way things are going. How's that working for you? The problem is that we're not. We have some problems. We all have situations that we would like to change. Jobs, health, husbands, no husband, friends, coworkers, a family member, and that takes into consideration parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, and in-laws. Aging, arthritis. Things just not going right. cars needing fixing, appliances breaking, no money, no rain, busyness, and exhaustion. You can add your own to this list. We do have trials, and not just little trials. I've listened to many women who shared deep pain in their heart about people that they just can't make resolution with. There's no way to approach. There's no way to approach them. I can't. It's too complicated. Too many ugly things have happened. The relationship just can't be repaired. And it's gone on just so long that now there's a deep source of resentment and shame, and our hearts become hardened. Stop a minute and think about your own life. What is your secret shame? Maybe it's a sin from long ago that you've buried rather than confessing. Maybe it's a habit that you should have outgrown by now. Maybe it's a hurt that you just can't manage to completely forgive. Are you numbing your mind with TV, Facebook? Now there's a safe place to have a relationship, right? Games? Do you play in games all the time? Or do you have that Scarlett O'Hara type of thinking? Oh, I'll deal with it tomorrow. The problems don't go away. And when we do think about them, we try to deal with these problems by crying to God, change them, Lord. Then we can love each other. If you'll change them, I'm a Christian and I want to love them. Just change them and then we can get along. Fix my husband. Take away this conflict. Change my circumstances, oh God. Not create a pure heart in me, oh God. It's amazing when you cry out to the Lord, especially when you're crying out in the kingdom of self, how he responds. He keeps giving you chance after chance to change what you're asking for. We don't see that there's any hope. We keep thinking, why does this happen over and over? It's when we're the weakest and the most tired and ready to give up that God gives us the strength that we need. Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 12, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Often God uses the trials in our hearts to make our hearts truly clean. We see this in the truth in the life of David. We're going to look at 2 stories about his life and see how his faith in God's power enabled him to both defeat a Goliath and conquer the giant of his own sin so he could have a pure heart. Why was David crying out in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God? Wasn't David the man that God talks about in Acts 13? When it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. God called David a man after his own heart. The first example that we have is the story of Goliath, which I'm sure you all know. But I got tickled when I read this again in the Bible. When you go back and you read those scriptures, you go, oh, I didn't realize that was there. He was the youngest of eight, and he was, when this story takes place, he's probably a teenager. And his job was to take care of his family's sheep. And then also he would run back and forth from Bethlehem to wherever his older brothers were at war and take them food, because that's what you did. They didn't have little, you know, restaurants and things. So they would have to bring in the food to the people who were fighting. At the time, the Philistines were fighting the Israelites. And the Philistines were on one hill, and then there was a valley, and the Israelites were on another hill. And the Philistines had this great big guy. He was 9 feet tall, and he was huge, and he was strong. Just his armor weighed 125 pounds. We have this metal pole at our house, and it's kind of like a crowbar, and we weighed it, and it's only 12 pounds. I can hardly lift it. And his sword was 15 pounds, and he was, you know, whopping that around. So every morning and every evening for 40 days, they had come down, and they would, you know, they were intimidating the Israelites. And Goliath would say, choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will be our subjects and serve us. This day I defy the ranks of the Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Well, the Israelites, there wasn't anybody going to go down there. They just weren't going to do it. And David comes up about the time that this was all happening, and he overhears it. And he asks, he says, well, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? And his brothers overheard him speaking. Now, this is the part I didn't remember. And they come over to him and they say, why have you come down here? And did you leave those sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You just came down to watch the battle. And what does David say? Now what have I done? Can't I even speak? This is in the Bible. I couldn't believe it. Doesn't this sound like our teenage kids that, I mean, you know, what, can't I even speak? So David turns and he talks to some other men, and then he says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine, because your servant, this servant, will go and fight him. And Saul says, you're only a boy. This man's been fighting since he was a youth. David told Saul how he had killed a lion and a bear when they come after his sheep. David said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he had defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul says to David, go and let the Lord be with you. And he gives him his armor. And David takes it off, and he's, I'm not used to this. So he goes over and he picks up 5 smooth stones and he puts them in his bag, and he takes his sling. When Goliath saw that David was coming down and he was a boy, he despised him. And he said, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. And then David says to Goliath, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. And those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And with that, he takes his little sling and he pops Goliath in the head with a rock and knocks him over. And he runs over and he cuts off his head. Well, the Philistines took off and the Israelites took off after him. What's your Goliath? Does it feel like the Philistine army's behind it? We all have giant trials and giant sins in our lives that must be conquered with faith. Do you have a relationship that's mangled and complicated that you cry out to the Lord, change their heart, Lord? Is it a job that's just too big? There's just no way. We just got to shut this down. We can't do it. Well, I work for the Emporia Christian School, and last August, Mr. Sanborn came in and he said, there's a leak in the boiler room, and we found out that our boiler had a leak, and it would be dangerous for us to ever turn it on again. And then we found out it was going to be $40,000 to fix this boiler. And it might as well have been a million, because we didn't have money. I've worked there long enough to know how long it takes just to raise $5,000 for a matching grant. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, August, September, October, November. We've got 4 months to raise $40,000. This is going to be God, because we can't do it. So we made one of those little thermometer things that goes up, that you chart your money that you've raised, and at the very bottom in that bulb we just went, trust God, and we started praying. And slowly money came in. But one day this man came in and he was just very uncomfortable, and he was shuffling around, and I'm thinking, what's he want to tell me, And he says, God just is not giving me any rest in my heart. He says, I just can't rest until I come in and give you this. And he gave me a check for $5,000. And then he, in tears, he says, I wish that my children could have gone to a Christian school. We had to take asbestos off of that boiler. We had to cut the boiler out. And each one of those things was so expensive. And as each item happened, we got the money. And each time we thought, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. But as each thing happened, the money came in. We now have heat, and the bill has been paid in full. James 1:2 says, consider it all pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance, it means patience and endurance. We have to wait on God. Is your Goliath health, money, a marriage that's failing, temptation, substance abuse, your job, a lost job, homesickness, relationships? Even a small problem can be a big Goliath at the time, kind of like a mole becoming, or molehill becoming a mountain. What happened to that young boy, David? He walked in faith. What happened to him? Well, he became the king of Israel. He fought wars. He built a palace. He married. He had children. But in all of this success, little did David know that another Goliath would rise and threaten the reign of God. And this time, David would not face him on the battlefield, but he would look him in the mirror. While he was a man of great faith, he also was capable of great sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it tells the story of David and Bathsheba. In the spring, it's a time of year where they call it the time of year where the kings go to war. Because in the winter, it's the rainy season. And then in the spring, the land dries out and the crops are there and they can take their army and they have the grain to eat along the way. But for some reason, David decided to stay home. He's at the palace. He's just shy of 40 years old. And he's restless and he gets up at night and he walks out, you know, on the veranda. And he sees a beautiful woman bathing. And instead of immediately, right there, saying, "Oh, Lord, protect my eyes. I'm so sorry. Please take that out of my mind. Please don't let this lust grow in my heart." Instead, he gave in to it. Not only did he give in to it, but he sent for her, and she was a married woman. And he laid with her, and they conceived a baby. Well, then David needed to cover up that sin. And so he sent for Uriah, who was on the battlefield. And he brought him home because he figured, well, he'll lay with her, and they'll think it's his baby, and we'll be good. But Uriah was a man of integrity. And he wouldn't lie with his wife and have the comforts of home when he knew that his men were at the battlefield. So he laid outside. So the next night, David gets him drunk, thinking, well, this'll do it. He'll lay with her now. But he refused. So then David decides, well, all right, we will send him back to battle, but we're going to send him to the fiercest battle. And they did send him to the fiercest battle, and he was killed. And then David took Bathsheba as his wife, and their little baby was born. Nathan, the prophet, came to David to tell him what the Lord said to him. He was coming to speak in place of the Lord, and he says, "I anoint you king over Israel and delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this had been too little, I would have given you more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife for your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." David said to Nathan, "I've sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "The Lord's taken away your sin. You're not going to die. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord showing utter contempt, the son born to you will die." And the baby became ill. And David prayed and he fasted, just hoping that God would change his mind and spare this baby's life. But the baby died. So when you read Psalm 51, this is David's cry for mercy when all this is happening. He's crying for forgiveness and cleansing out of this situation. So let me read 1 through 13 for you. "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, You desire the truth and light in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy of joy and gladness, and let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I'll teach transgressors your way and sinners will turn back to you. David cried out to the Lord when he recognized his sin. David had pleased himself over God. He was living in the kingdom of self. His sin had driven a wedge between him and God. David does give a true confession, and there's three parts to it. Number one, he owns up to his sin for what it is. He didn't blame his circumstances. Number two, he sees God for who he is, loving kindness, which is grace and mercy. He didn't blame God like Adam, who said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. David didn't say, well, if you hadn't allowed me to see her bathing, or if she hadn't gotten pregnant. No, he said, I have done evil in your sight. He's brokenhearted over his sin, and he's sincerely reaching out to God to forgive his sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Is your Goliath becoming a sin? Are you standing knee-deep in the trenches of frustration and anger and hurt? If it's a relationship, do you have raw wounds, old hurts that you try to numb your mind until you have to deal with that person again? Is their sin becoming your sin? Pray this prayer. And you write down Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. Our lives are changed. Kay Arthur, I love it when she tells this story. The ladies that are in my Bible study are going to go, you're going to tell that again. But she talks about our old self as this stinking rotten thing that we pick up and we say, oh, I really don't want to give that up. And we wrap around it and tie it. And here's this stinking, rotten, old self that we're carrying around with us so that we feel comfortable. It's the kingdom of self. When we don't have to, let me put that back. We don't have to do that. It says, if anyone's is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Does this mean that we won't do anything wrong? No. We're going to have trials. As a Christian woman, do you ever question why you can't hand it over to the Lord? Why can't I forgive? I'm not reacting the way a Christian woman should. Paul writes the Philippians in chapter 4 of his letter, and he says, now, bear with me. I don't know how to pronounce these ladies' names. But there's two ladies, and they're Christians, okay? I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Synge. How's that? We'll just say that there is that their names. To agree with each other in the Lord. Paul is talking about two Christian women that he worked with that their names are in the book of life, that aren't getting along. And then he says, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let the gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Paul says, loyal yoke fellow. I know you've probably heard this story, but for those that you haven't, when they have oxen, they put an older oxen with a younger oxen, and then they put the yoke over them so that as they're pulling the cart and going wherever they're supposed to go, that the younger oxen learns from the older oxen. Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to yoke ourselves with Jesus. Let him lead us through these trials. Is your name written in the book of life? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or are you? Are you living in the kingdom of self? Are you living in the kingdom of God? 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul tells us to examine ourselves and to see whether we are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So let's go back to your Goliath, the one area of your life that seems impossible to conquer, the memory that still fills you with resentment or shame. David picked up 5 stones. I want you to pick up 3 hearts and the Word of God. Your table leader has little envelopes she's going to give out to you now. Table leaders, give out your little envelopes. And if you'll open them up, inside, you have 3 hearts, and you have the scriptures that we're going to go over. So often, people have said to me, I wish I had these scriptures that I could put in my Bible. So I've written them out for you. The black heart represents us before we gave our heart to Jesus. We were sinners. It reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, and that there's no one righteous, not even one. We can't be good enough to get into heaven on our own. The red heart represents the blood of Jesus shed for us. God's love for us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us, that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God knew we needed a Savior. He gave his son as the ultimate sacrifice. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Ephesians 2:8, for it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works. It's a gift. You don't earn it. Jesus paid for salvation through his sacrifice on the cross. Many religions admit that Jesus was a great teacher. Well, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Salvation is found in no one else. Acts 4:12. The white hart is to remind us that God forgives our sins. He washes us whiter than snow. Hebrews 10:17, their sins and lawless acts I remember no more. Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin for all time. John 1:29 says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now I have an assignment for you. I want you to tuck these three little hearts in your Bible, along with the scripture. And when you're having your quiet time with the Lord, I want you to pull them out. And I want you to really pray about your heart. Thank God for your life, which was changed through his Son. Spend time thanking him for all the blessings in your life. Look at how richly God has blessed your life. Look at the white hart. Ask God to help you know what your Goliaths are. And I want you to write your Goliaths at that time on your heart. Pray about them. Pray Psalms 139:23, which I'm going to read for you again, which says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting. And then listen to him. Give time and listen to him. Listen to him through his word. Sincerely ask him to forgive the sin in your heart. And let's go back over how David did that. Number one, he owns up to his sin for what it is. He didn't blame his circumstances. Number two, he sees God for who he is. Loving kindness, grace, and mercy. He didn't blame God. And number three, he's brokenhearted. He's brokenhearted over his sin, which means he had to really know what it was. And then I want you to pray about and see whether or not you think that you need a prayer warrior to help you fight your Goliath. If you do, ask God who you should seek out. Pray about it. Don't do it quickly. Don't go give somebody your heart quickly. I want you to really take time, pray about this, and pray about your Goliath. Confess your struggle to this person. Ask them to be a prayer warrior for you. Remember, they're not there to fix it or to dwell on the details with you, but stand with you in prayer. In James 5, it says, if any of one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. If any of one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church and to pray over him in the name of the Lord. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Personally, the Lord helped me to see what was in my heart when I cried out to him to change my heart. I've prayed and shared with a dear friend who is my prayer warrior. And I've asked her for prayer many times. And I trust her to pray when I ask her to pray. I've turned my Goliath over to the Lord and I've cried out, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And I've persevered to continue to stay close to the Lord through studying the Word and applying what I've learned in my life, which I'm going to work at the rest of my life. I pray for this person who is the Goliath in my life, not to change their heart anymore, but to change mine. And my heart is changing by doing that. My heart is changing. The hurt is fading, and I'm not as guarded anymore. I'm dropping the wall, and I feel like I'm a young girl standing next to the Lord and saying, this battle is yours, and my heart belongs to you. I've asked him to change my heart, and he's taking the resentment, and he's giving me compassion. And I have hope, and my heart is changing. Make David's prayer your own. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Make him Lord of your life. Let's pray. Father, please help us to see the sin in our life. You know how many times I came to you and said, Lord, please peel the scales from my eyes. Let me see the sin that I know that I have in this situation. And you showed me, Lord. And you're helping. Father, please help these ladies to be able to come to you and cry out, create in me a clean heart. Please help them to have prayer warriors. Teach us through your word how to be Christian women and walk in a godly fashion. And I just lift up all these ladies, Father, and I just ask that you would help them. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Questions. So this is a time